So I was speaking to a group for adult education, and I mentioned to them that at that time, 10 years ago, Torah was given 3,317 years ago. That was our conversation, 3,317 years. Now, 10 years later, 3,327 years ago. But someone asked from the group, he says, how can Torah be relevant? Well, so long. There have been so many changes in our lives. You know, the generation, it's interesting. Parents and children now, parents and children, I'm not even talking about grandparents. Parents and children live now in two different generations. Two different generations. Because all of the changes in technology, for the good and for the good. So that this is 10 years ago, he says, listen, there's so many changes. How could a document, this is how he put it, a document which is 3,317 years old, how can it be relevant to us? My answer is one that I think you would give as well. True, so many changes, yet human nature hasn't changed. And because human nature hasn't changed, Torah has an eternal message for us for all times. So therefore, from day one till Bias Goel Tzedek, Torah has total relevancy for us. Now, I haven't spoken for a few weeks, so what I essentially did was to take out something from each of the parshias, not related to each other per se, but things that give an eternal message, you'll understand clearly what I'm speaking about. I'm going to start from parshas Korach per se. But there's a major concept that comes based on the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Lamed Tes, asks the question, it says, Remez lebikur cholim min haTorah minayim. Where is there a remez for Bikur Cholim? Now, we understand that Bikur Cholim is one of those mitzvahs that is sheperaseihem ba'olam haba. We have schar here in this world, and we have the ikr schar in olam haba. I mean, this is no question. And one of them, Bikur Cholim. Where do you see the remez? So the Parsha speaks about the dialogue between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu does something which is out of character. He asks for Korach and his people to die. And not only to die, but a misa mishuna. And part of what he says in the Parsha is that, im kamos kol ha'adam yamusim elu, if these people will die like regular people die, they live out their lives, and then as they get older, they will pass away. Upekudas kolarim yipake. This is the part. This is the pasuk in particular. And that which visits people will visit them. Upekudas kolarim yipake aleihem. And that which visits all people will visit them too. So people then certainly, people will say, Hashem didn't send me. And there's no question. And the whole, there'll be a whole balagan. And therefore, please, Hashem, open up the ground, swallow them up. The Gemara says, Im pekudas kol ha'adam yipakei. This is this reminds us of Bikur Cholim. That which visits, the emphasis is on visits. That which visits. So we're talking about visitations. We'll visit them. Moshe asked, we don't want that to happen to them. Now, Bikur Cholim in general, what is there about Bikur Cholim that makes the Cholah better? So usually when I ask the question, 1/60th, we take away 1/60th of his illness. And we understand, as the Maharsha says, 1/60 is bottle. So the person visiting doesn't have to be afraid that he's going to catch whatever's there or whatever. Bottle. He comes, he just gets the mitzvah. So there are other major reasons, many options. The person feels cared for. he has a more of a feeling that he wants to live. A person goes to daven, he feels, you know, even if he calls him up on the phone and he gets a part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim there, you know, he davens for him. He can help him. I mean, there's been times that you go to visit a person, you see he can't feed himself. You can help feed him. You can help bring him water. Rabbi Kiva says that's what you have to do when you go visit a chayla. See what you can do to clean up the room, perhaps prop up the pillow, whatever it could be. You call the family to discuss what you may see. Sometimes a person walks into a chayla and he sees that maybe the whatever protocols they're using should have a change, and therefore he is there to call and listen. He says, you know, maybe get another doctor, maybe get another opinion, whatever it may be. And sometimes the person walks in, sees the person is sick, and he decides, maybe I'll help him with his doctor bills. Who knows? But there are many, many milas that come through visiting the sick. The Kli Yakar gives us an eternal message that we can use clearly anytime we visit a sick person or even make that call, even if we don't actually see him. Although seeing, not that seeing is believing in this sense, but seeing makes an impression, an indelible impression. And that is as follows. Person goes to visit the sick person. And I'm going back to this part of the pasuk of the im pekudas kol ha'adam yipokeh. And if that which visits all people will visit him. So when that visitor comes in, he, Baruch Hashem, is feeling well himself. He's not really thinking about life and death and existential issues and mortality or anything like that. He just wants to get through the day and whatever he's thinking about. He walks in, he sees a person who's ill. Now, there are all different, you know, gradations of illness. So it doesn't have to be, God forbid, deathly illness. But whatever it is, when there's someone who's sick, it's going to make an impression on the visitor. He's going to say to himself, thank God, listen, Halavai, he should be well, but thank God I'm not the one who broke the arm. Thank God, you know, he should be well, but I see that he's, you know, maybe on his way out, you know, whatever. Thank God it's not I. And all of a sudden, really, he starts to become that much closer to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Whatever it is, certainly closer than he was before he made the visit. Who gets the schar? Who is the catalyst that brings this man closer to Hashem? Who is the one who makes his life better, who improves his standing with Hashem? The Chola. Says the Kli Yakar, that's how the Chola gets better. Because Hashem says, just as you brought this man and, you know, closer to me and bettered his situation because he looked at you and saw you or spoke to you, so too I'm going to make you better as well. And that, says the Kli Yakar, is one of the approaches of how the visiting the sick helps the sick person. You know, it could even be the guy with the broken arm or broken who knows what. Nothing so out of that a guy walks into the hospital to see him if he's convalescing and he sees other people in the hall and he sees them and having their tzaris and they're, okay, that makes the impression I'm too. But who's the catalyst of it all? The person who is being visited. That means lamaisa. Always lamaisa. It means that when we go to visit someone, mikan lahabo ad meyav esrim shana, let's be sensitive to this idea that through him he should be well. He should be well. But through him, we're going to feel that much closer to Hashem and think of our own mortality and our own lives. And that which visits, you know, in Pekudas Kol Ha'odam Yipokeh, if that which visits all people will visit this person as well, he starts thinking of some of those final visitations as well, then he gets closer and the person who's ill is going to get better through that too. So we really have a dynamic way through Bikur Cholim to really help the Chola through the Chola. In Parshas Chukos, we know that we speak about the idea of paraduma. Chukim, everybody knows. Chukim, mishpatim, edus, chukim, mishpatim, everyone. Now, chukim is translated usually as decrees. We don't know why is shatnis osir? Why is chazer osir? Why is shellfish osir? Basr v'cholim. Even relatives, a person, if he married his sister, they could get along very well, possibly, you know? They have so much in common. Why can't I marry my sister? Rav Shimshon Shemshon Rafal Hirsch speaks about chukim. Chukim, it's a chuk as well. So therefore, there are chukim. Well, I don't know, but Hashem knows. And a person becomes accustomed to that type of situation too. He says, I don't know, Hashem knows. And that's true. The fact is that there, the Ber Yosef says, chukei ha-halocha help us to address the chukei ha-chayim. It's a major concept. Life is full of chukim. Life is full of chukim. Why is it some people are born tall when they finish growing? Tall. Another person is short. I don't know. It's the way he was born, you know. But it's part of chukei ha-chayim. Some people very bright. Other people less bright. How come? I'm not talking about amelus. I'm not talking mechukasai telechu and you are amelin b'terem. No, no. But the fact is, just innately, some people are ready for mensa. It's a society for people who have brilliance. Other people, no. Why? I don't know, but Hashem knows. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this person. Some people are big boned. I'm not talking about the flesh on the body, which can be controlled through eating or other situations, all right? But big boned. The others, more slender bone. Well, the same thing works with illness. Why is this person ill, another person not? Why is this person who is even a nadvin with his money, he loses his money? Why is it poverty as opposed to wealth? Death as opposed to life. Why is it that there's a fire that claims the life of 7 children in Brooklyn? Why is it just a month ago, a little over a month ago in Ramat Eshkol, a 42-year-old man went to sleep and the next day he passed away? Why? Why? So the truth is this, we don't know, but Hashem knows. What makes it easier for us to address the chukei ha-chayim, chukim halacha, because we become accustomed with the fact that there are things in halacha that we don't know, but Hashem knows. And similarly in life. And it's a major lesson, an eternal lesson for life, because it is so emes. A person wears a yarmulke. Now everybody knows the word yarmulke. I'm not talking, it's, you know, kippah, I know kippah. But yarmulke, yarmulke, the awe, the respect, the fear of Hashem. Yoram, it's a contraction. It's a contraction. Like shalashudis is really shalosh seudos. Yarmulke, yoramalke, yarmulke. Fine. So, the pashtus, the most simple understanding is, it's there as a reminder that God is above us, etc., etc. But there's more. Part of a yarmulke is to remind us, and I'm going to come to how it relates to chukim in a moment. Another reason for yarmulke is it's a head protector. It's a cover for our head to help us to know that not everything should go into the head. You know, once a person, something comes into our head, through our eyes, through our ears, through our thoughts, hear, heard, it stays there. You know, there's a, you know, it can, may fade over time and all this, but once it's in, it's in. That's why a person has to be very careful. We talk about shmiras einayim, shmiras aznayim, shmir this. We spoke about it before, a lot to it, but whoa. A yarmulke, it's a protective cover. Person rides a bike, he wears a helmet, other activities, helmets. Well, this is our helmet, just as a reminder. Watch what goes in. Fine. But now let me come to what I wanted to mention about this. The yarmulke is also a reminder that there's something on top of our heads that we don't necessarily understand. We speak of a cap. There are salary caps. Salary caps means that there's a limit. Well, a yarmulke is a reminder that there's a limit for what we don't necessarily understand. A person says, well, I don't understand this. As if to say, well, if I don't understand it, it can't be something. Listen, you don't understand. There's a lot of things you may not understand. And certainly, chukei ha-chayim, that which the yarmulke is a reminder that there's a cap, if I may use that word, there's a cap on what we understand, and there are things that we just don't. A person gets in touch with himself, get in touch with life. You'll see there are many, many things like this. And listen, there are certainly, I could say, well, I use electricity, don't understand how it works. But that, I can eventually, you know, be able to just apply myself. I'll learn how electricity works and all this. However, there are chukei ha-chayim that we'll never know. And the person once said, you want to find out? Listen, may you want to go to Hashem now and find out? No. It's okay. So I don't have to understand everything. I'll wait to find out. So Chukei Halacha help us to understand the Chukei Achayim. Then is an interesting piece that comes through Parshas Bullet. And it relates also, interestingly enough, to Bein HaZmanim and everything. Not just Bein HaZmanim, Zmanim all the time. This is a major, major concept too. Here you have Matov Aleho Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael. Famous. Very often, not here, but it's often on a parochus. Matov Aleho Yaakov. If you look in the Siddur, you find Matov Aleho Yaakov is written even before Adon Olam and even before Yigdal. See, it must be very important if it's found in the Siddur as one of the first things that's in the Siddur. And second of all, or maybe first of all, is who said it? And granted, inspired by Hashem. But the fact is, Matov Aleho Yaakov comes from Bilam. Of all people to put something in the Siddur that's associated with such a person, I'd rather put something that's associated with David HaMelech, Matov, who says, Mi kamcha Yisrael goyechad boretz. Who is like you, Hashem, who is Yisrael? It's a unique nation in the land. Fine. Hazezok David HaMelech. I'd rather put that than Matov. What's the point? To be the Bruch Shamar, it's the Torah Tmim. He says, well, if your enemy says something about you, you figure that's nice, it must be true. So he's explaining the first part as to why Matovu. If David HaMelech, we'd put Mikam Chay Yisrael, somebody could say, well, David HaMelech is maybe exaggerating. You know, it's David HaMelech. However, Mikam, but Matovu, said by Bilam, who is embodies Yimach Shemo, all of the things that we're familiar with. You know, thank God he wasn't successful. But others after him and before him were successful, so we say Yimach Shemo. So by him is Yimach Shemo. Fine. But so we know it's Emes, but there's more. Why is it placed in the beginning of the Siddur? So I once heard from Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky, the idea is, one of the ideas is, but for us, and this is the eternal message, Chazal put Matovu into the Siddur because he wanted us to remember something. How did Bilam come to say Matovu? He stood on a mountain and he observed the Jewish people. The Jewish people didn't know they were being observed. They were going along their normal life. And as he looked down, he saw that all the tents were set up in such a way to maintain the privacy of the people, which was unheard of in those days where people lived like behemoths. And, okay, I know, very many people still live like behemoths. But the fact is, you get the idea. And the fact is that he said to himself, as much as he didn't want to, something good is happening, and he let it go. Well, now, our Chazal wanted us to understand something. In the very beginning of the day, always be aware that we are under scrutiny. Not talking about the iron row of oz and shamas, v'chol d'varecha, b'sefer nechtavim. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that people are looking at us. A person starts the day, his wife, his children, they watch how he conducts himself. A person goes into shul, into a beis medrash, how he conducts himself. He goes into a plane on his way home for Bein Hazmanim, how he conducts himself. He goes, when he comes home, during the time, the people he greets, the people he meets, the rav he sees, the people he interacts with, they look. How does he drive? Whatever it is, we are under scrutiny. You know, nowadays people are becoming more aware of scrutiny because there are not thousands, but millions of cameras that have been placed in places. Just read recently in England, in Britain, there are thousands, even millions of cameras that are there just to keep people under surveillance. Now, I'm not talking about being under surveillance here, but I am saying that we are under scrutiny. And the key idea is this. If people are looking at us and we say to ourselves, Matovu, which reminds us that even Bilam, who looked at us from the mountaintop and made a positive impression upon him, how much more so when people watch us, the impression that we can make on them, especially when it's a positive impression in what we're doing, And we remind ourselves of this so early in the morning because that's when it starts. When a person's aware of it, he realizes that he's never, never, never alone. And, say, you know, and we're reminded, you know, sometimes you go on a trip. You know, I go to Sfas. All of a sudden, I see Eliezer Levine. He's there in Sfas. Why? What are you doing there? I get onto a bus. There's someone else. He's a younger man who is there. Mayor Simcha Sperling is sitting, you know, he's sitting on my bus. I didn't expect you here. Well, it's a good thing I wasn't wearing Bermuda shorts and stuff like that. Wow! That you get this type of thing over and over. This is nothing new to happen. It's everybody. The idea is it's just a reminder that we're always connected, always in what opportunities that we have. You know, I've mentioned before here that one of the reasons that I went to Ner Yisrael is that my father, in love of Shalom, was in shul at a shalashudis when a young man, Mendel Bernstein, who now lives in Far Rockaway, I haven't been in touch with him for years and years, but he came as a yeshiva bacher, and he spoke during shalashudis, and he made such a fantastic impression on my father that when I wanted, you know, when we discussed which yeshiva, he went to Ner Yisrael. He saw a product of Ner Yisrael. You can imagine, each one of us, when we go home, and wherever we are, even right now, specifically, we are representatives of our yeshiva. And if not, and it goes further, we're representatives of Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're the B'nai Torah. What impressions we make. So keep it. Matov Aleha Yaakov. Bilam is a reminder of all this. Let me speak about Bein HaMetzorim for just a few moments. Think of it for a moment. We have a home. Hashem doesn't. Homeless. Someone was talking to me about homeless people today. What a shame when you see a homeless person. You know, people like to buy homes. It gives a certain stability. I don't rent. I own a home. Ooh, that's nice. You own a home. Yes. And it may mean so much for so many different people. Well, the person goes, where are you going? Where are you going to? I'm going home. Ben Azmanim. You know, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a home. Think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is homeless at this time. Just a feeling to think about as such. The Gemara in Brachas, on Dav Gimel on the Aleph, and the Gemara says that Yosef went into one of the churvas of Yerushalayim, and he saw Elio there. And Elio, when he came out, and Elio said to him, what did you hear? So he said, I heard a call in the churva, a bas call. And the bas call was saying that it was cooing like a dove, and it said, Oy lebonim shabavon, seyehem hecharavti esbesi, woe to the children, I have destroyed my home, serafti es hecholi, I've burned my sanctuary, the higlisim lebeina umis, and I've sent the people out among the nations. And Elio said to Rabbi Yosef, he said to him, Chayecha, it's not just now that you just happen to hear this basko. Every time, three times a day, not during the davening, three times a day, the three times a day, three mishmaros. At the end of all the three mishmaros at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this, for those who believe, they'll be the shosh Yisrael nichnasim, lebote kinesios, lebote midrashes. When we Jews are in our shuls and in our bote midrashes, and we say, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menaneya rosho, Hashem doesn't have a head, and we understand. And the metaphor is just to give us an idea of someone who's in deep sorrow, who weaves back and forth, he weaves his head back and forth. He says, Oy lohem lebonim, shegolu me'al shulchan avihem. Woe to the children who have been exiled from the table of their father. Table of, we don't even understand what we're talking about. I'm saying it over here. I'm trying to say, what it to be homeless? I'm trying to feel it, to really feel it homeless. And a father who says, Oy vey, my children are being, his children, being sent away from the table. Rav Chaim Friedlander says, this is the time, if there be any time, to focus on the Churban, it's now. tonight. Yidav Marv. Please, let us, we'll see you coming back to Sion. Please, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, come back to Yerushalayim. We're not going to think about it now. When will we? Send us Mashiach. This is the time. During Shemoneh Esrei now. Or during benching now. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a month from now, or right, 2 months from now, he's going to hear from us, Avinu Malkeinu, all the Avinu Malkeinus. He's going to hear, Acha Shu'al Tumeis Hashem, Oizu Avach, Shiv Tumeis Hashem. Okay, fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I want to do this. I'm with you 100%. But be with me now as well, that I need you now. Avinu Malkeinu then is also, I need you now to daven, because miracle of miracles, and it could be a miracle of miracles, our tefillahs really make a difference. The Yetzirah says, what's the difference? It could be that last little brick, that last little smidgen of plaster in between the bricks, that could be our tefillah. And that could bring Mashiach. And you know, it sounds so like, on you, so much, so up, is it possible? Yes, it is. That's it. The Yetzer Hara works overtime to try to convince us that our mitzvahs mean nothing, that we mean nothing, and certainly tefillahs for the goel tzedek to come and the binyan beis hamikdash to be. But that beis hamikdash is being built brick by brick by brick by brick, spiritual bricks, and it's going to come down. And Yetzer Hashem, that third beis hamikdash, never to be destroyed again. And that comes from us. It could be someone from here. Anyone who's here could make that tefillah, that tear, that sincere feeling that says, I'm not at rest with the situation. I'm not at peace with it. Just like Yaakov Avinu was not at peace with his son Yosef being lost to him, and he always felt a contact. He thought he was dead, but it's the same idea. He still always thought him, well, Yerushalayim has never been forgotten by us. Every day we go through, and we know that it's going to be rebuilt. And we want our tefillahs to make it happen. And part of it making it happen is as follows too. We know the Gemara says in Gittin that the Biryonim had a big machlokes with the Chachamim. In the end, the Biryonim, who were the zealots, they were so sure of themselves that they were right, that we should go and fight the Romans. And when the Chachamim said, Lo mistayim milsa, don't go to fight, it's not going to work. They burned 21 years of food. The storehouses were able to be filled. They were filled with fear, with food and firewood and oil and all that was necessary to outlast the Romans for 21 years. A lot can happen in 21 years. A lot can happen in a week. Let alone, and we find later on in the Gemara, you see what happened. And the fact is, 21 years until the people, because they had no choice, they were dying of famine, the Jews, because of what the Biryonim did. But the fact that, and then the Romans came in and destroyed the city. But what was the real machloikis with the Biryonim and the Chachamim? The Biryonim say, let's fight. The Chachamim say, no. Chachamim certainly weren't cowards. They understood what. But what was it? The Biryonim said, listen, we're learning Torah. There are people learning Torah. Hakol Kol Yaakov. Yitzchak Avinu said, Hakol Kol Yaakov. And it's clear as of Yadayim Midei Esav, there will be no Yadayim Midei Esav as if there's a Kol Torah. We have a Kol Torah. Let's go out and fight. We'll win. Chacham said, no, it's not going to happen. Why? Why not? The Ben Yehoyad explains. Because Chacham said to him, there's Lashon Hara being spoken. Widely. And because there's Lashon Hara, it inviscerates, it weakens the Torah. The Kol Kol Yaakov is a Torah that's strong. If the Torah is not strong, it's not going to beat the Yadayim Yedei Esav. And therefore, we don't have a chance at this time. So we say to ourselves now, we do have the chance. This may be it. This may be, it's possible that we won't even have to fast on Tisha B'Av. It could happen. Shivasha B'Tamiz, all right, it happened. But we could make it happen. As I'm saying this to you, I'm saying, is it really so? Yes, I know. This is kach mikubu kibalti mirabosai. And I saw that nothing they've ever heard from my rebbeim have ever been something that's not so. It is so. We could make it happen. Halavai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us, both internally in our own quality of mitzvahs, quantity of mitzvahs, focus in mitzvahs, to be able to bring about the Geula Shleima, so that Tisha B'Av could really be a yontif instead of what it is now. Aguten. Right.